Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Orlando Magic host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Dante Marcatelli. Dante, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys, and you guys are great, by the way. I'm getting caught up on my Cavs talk, and I squeezed in some Brown Stadium update. That's pretty impressive. I don't have a vote, but I'm all in favor of a dome, if we can make that happen, by the way. I don't know where
please,
that stands.
God.
This
is not Orlando. This is Cleveland.
Yeah, and also, I like new things. I don't know how you feel about that. I like new flashy things, and I haven't had one of those in Cleveland for a while.
I mean, I've been here in December and November. I'm in favor of a dome, so I hope it gets done for you.
You just wish they could build a dome around the stadium so you didn't have to step outside when you're going to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse when the Cavs are in town, right?
That's right. It's been cold. That's why I'm loving this. This weather is amazing. It's about to be hotter than the sun in Orlando for the next 3 months, so I'm enjoying this for a couple of days while we're here.
Well, we're enjoying it too. Well, sort of enjoying it. You know, it's one of those things where it's when it's really cold, you complain about it. When it's really hot, you complain about it. It's just kind of what we do here. Be honest with me, Dante. When this series, when it swung back to Orlando, in your wildest dreams, could you have seen the complete shift in momentum and shift in the way this series gone from the end of game two to the end of game four?
Well, I'll even go a step further. Not only the end of game two, you start game three and you're building 1-for-11. And you're thinking, my goodness, are they ever going to score in this series? I think that's kind of where your mind goes. Just struggled mightily on the offensive end. Obviously here, we know about the woes here, averaging about 84 points a game here in Cleveland. But you're thinking, okay, that's kind of what this team has done all year, is they don't get too high and they don't get too low. And that starts with Jamal Mosley, who, you know, Cavs fans are familiar with from his time here in Cleveland. But he just doesn't let them get too high. And he told them right away they did what they were supposed to do. They won their two games at home. Now we just have to go do what we're supposed to do and go win our two home games. But then you have that poor start in game three and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, what's it going to take to come back and get into this series? What I could not have – I think you thought it was – you always think it's a chance. This team has been so good. They were 29-12 on their home floor all year. So they were fantastic in their own building. So you thought, okay, these games are going to be competitive. What you could have never foreseen was the margin for that outcome. I don't think anybody predicted that. I think everybody thought, okay, this will go back and be hopefully a competitive series. But to win the way they did, I think caught everybody off guard. And it re-energized them, reinvigorated them, gave them more confidence coming back here to game five. Because I don't think they 14 of your 18 guys had never set foot on the floor for a playoff game. And you didn't know what to expect in games one and two. And they at least have a better understanding of what they're in for tonight.
Yeah, there's no question. You look back at, you know, games one and two with Orlando here in Cleveland. The Magic, they really couldn't shoot at all. They had a hard time scoring, but that was the exact opposite when they got to Orlando. Now they come back to Cleveland here tonight. Do you expect them to shoot better than they did in games one and two?
Well, I hope so. I don't think it could be worse, right? If we're looking at those first two games. But listen, that's been the thing for this team for a couple of years now. They just haven't been a good offensive team for several years. They've been in 27, 28, 29, and 3-point shooting here the last 4 or 5 years. You don't expect it to be that much bigger here going into the postseason when looks are harder to come by, and you got pressure, you got nerves, you got everything that goes with it. A great defensive team, one of the best in the NBA, in the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you don't expect them to come out and shoot 50% from beyond the arc. But a lot of them were open looks, guys, and I think that's the frustrating thing. You're working so hard on the offensive end, you get a good look and just couldn't knock it down. I mean, to shoot twice, you certainly expected better than 23%. From beyond the arc and knocked down 17 threes in the first two games combined. So I don't think he expected that. I think a lot of it was nerves and you know, getting open looks and pressing. And this team, when it's scoring the basketball, and it just brings a total life to the defensive end, and I think that helps them. So they got to get some to go in early. And listen, I mean, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley were absolutely sensational defensively in those first two games, and that's what the Magic's forte has been all year, scoring in the paint. And those two guys just didn't let them get anything in the basket. I think they shot 45% in the painted area in game one and missed 11 free throws and 18 turnovers. So I think as poor as it was on the offensive end, you came away from those two games saying, yes, Cleveland's an unbelievable defensive team, but, man, we shot ourselves in the foot a lot. If we can correct that, clean that up going into game three, give ourselves a chance.
Dante Marcatelli, Bally Sports, Florida, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, getting you ready for Cavs Magic Game 5 here in Cleveland. And so you mentioned the name Jared Allen. We're all a little antsy in our pantsy here because he is now questionable for tonight's game. How do you think the absence of, you know, how big of a win, how does that change things for Orlando if Jared Allen is either limited or can't go tonight?
Well, I think it's huge. Obviously, he's been so good in this series. He's obviously the leading rebounder and great on the offensive glass. But I think this team knows that it starts and stops with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, we saw him get 71 in the game before, saw him get 30 in game one. I think everybody knows he's capable of having a big game. But Jared Allen has been the one that's given so many second-chance opportunities, so many offensive rebounds. I think another thing, too, that helps Orlando tonight, and it helped him certainly in games three and four, was starting Wendell Carter Jr. I think as good as Jonathan Isaac is, he doesn't have the girth and the size and the strength to keep Jared Allen off the glass like Wendell did in games three and four. So I think that was a huge change. And putting Jonathan Isaac back into that second unit, well, that, you know, the second unit was the fourth highest scoring bench unit in the NBA, and that kind of gave some stability back to them. So I think that kind of righted some things as well. And you're not going to get big numbers out of Wendell, but I think his ability to keep Jared Allen off the glass, I think, has been huge. And if he's limited or unable to go, well, then I think they fully expect, you know, you'll get a steady dose of Tristan Thompson, I'm sure, who's capable of mucking things up. I mean, he comes in here and he's grabbing, he's hitting guys, and, you know, that could be a much more physical game. But it puts a lot more pressure, I think, on Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I think those guys are going to have to perform, and all indications and everything you read is that those guys are going to shoot it a lot more here tonight, and they're certainly capable of having monster nights, no question.
Dante, I'm curious your opinion as an outsider on the job that J.B. Bickerstaff has done this season, last season, and now here in the playoffs. We're not huge fans of him in particular. I'm not trying to lead the question to you.
But he's awful, and you know, no
but
doubt.
I'm kidding. But I am curious your thoughts on J.B. Bickerstaff.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it's a make-or-miss league, and I think if guys miss shots, I think it's easy to point fingers at the coach. I really do. I think the Cavs have gotten not a ton of open looks, but they've gotten open looks that they haven't made. The Magic are the best in the playoffs at defending the three, so they haven't been a ton of open looks, but I think the shots they have, they just haven't made. I mean, it's not George Niang. We have not defended George Niang since he got in the NBA as an organization. The fact that that guy's made 1-3 has got everybody baffled. We're expecting big games out of George Niang. We saw Sam Merrill come in and knock down 8 threes in a game. So I think you've got guys that are potent scorers. Max Strus, I mean, for years in Miami, did a lot of damage to the Orlando Magic. And Evan Mobley, has been very successful against Franz Wagner. So I think all of those things, you know, if they had played out like they typically do, I think you'd be having this conversation. But I think, you know, you got to make shots. At four games where you haven't gotten to 100 points, I think, you know, everybody's looking for someone to blame. I think it's a little bit unfair to put it on the coach personally. I think guys just got to go out there and perform better. And I know everybody's hinting at, you know, the rotations and searching switches and trying to find rotations. Well, it worked beautifully in games one and two. Just weren't able to execute it as well in games three and four. So listen, nothing's lost. If they win all their home games, they move on to round two and none of it matters. But I always typically think a lot more gets put on the coach than it should.
So I know you've talked a little bit about how the offense looked the first two games here in Cleveland of the series, where the Magic really struggled to crack 80, let alone trying to get up to 90. You also mentioned the nerves and kind of that first playoff taste. Are you expecting a better offense to come out tonight for Orlando than maybe what you saw those first two games in Cleveland?
I think so. I just think for the standpoint, you've had games three and four. You've made shots. You've come in with more confidence. And I think you'll come into this game tonight at least knowing, okay, we can start 1-for-11 and still win a game. That's what happened in game three, as opposed to, okay, now we're starting 0-for-6 and this is uncharted territory. We've never gone down this road. You know, digging out of a 12-point deficit every first quarter, that's what's done you in. You've been able to hold your own from the second quarter on, but it's been those poor starts. I mean, you haven't scored first in the series. You haven't been able to get the first basket yet. You didn't have your first lead till midway through the first quarter of game three. So I think having gone through all of that, I think there's a calm and an understanding that, okay, you know, Cleveland's going to be fired up. This was as loud a building as any of those players had heard after game one and two, you know, before we went home and heard our fans in our building just as loud, which was great for them and propelled them. But so, I think that combination of everything, you know, kind of really jolted them a little bit. But still, you were able to defend. You were able to hold them under 100 points both games. So your defense didn't waver. I just couldn't make shots. So I don't think they'll press as much. I don't think if they get down or start poorly, I don't think they'll press. They're fully expecting, you know, Cleveland come out and hit them early. Can you weather the first storm, and then can you calm down and go from there?
Dante, do we know if the Wagners have an arm detail with them today? Because I will say, I don't know that any brothers outside of the Menendez brothers have engendered as much enmity from people as the Wagner brothers have here in Cleveland.
Well, first
Menendez,
of all, that's
we're going there, huh? Okay,
you're a veritable wordsmith. I don't. You said so many words in there, I don't even understand. That's amazing. But first of all, yeah, can the fans
try being me
the
every
right,
day there, partner?
That's tough to live up to. Can the fans get the right Wagner brother? First of all, they boo Franz just as loudly as they boo Mo, but maybe they just don't like him equally, like you're saying. I think it's an easy pivot to here in Buckeye country to dislike anyone from Michigan. So I think they came in knowing they had one strike against them. But I think we came into this series, any playoff series, no matter who we were going to play, fully knowing that Mo Wagner was probably going to make enemies with an entire state, no matter what city we went to. It happened to be Cleveland. But he doesn't play dirty. He doesn't take cheap shots. He just plays hard, and he's an irritant out there. There's no question about it. He's one of those guys you love when he's on your team, and when he's playing against you, he's frustrating as heck. But I think he loves it. He welcomes it. He's not doing anything different than he's done all year or his entire career. So he's not hamming it up for the playoffs. This is who he is. This is how he plays. And he certainly welcomes. He certainly welcomes. And he told us, he said, oh, boy, we know what's coming when we go back to Cleveland. But he embraces that. He'll be ready for it.
I will say Cleveland fans disagree with your assessment of Mo as not a dirty player. But I understand it's the playoffs. All right, we can have differing opinions.
Sure.
Dante, great stuff, buddy. Enjoy game five, but don't enjoy it as much as we'd like to enjoy it, because if the Cavs don't win, it's going to be a brutal day tomorrow. So I'm just saying, enjoy it a little bit.
All right, you got it. Take care, guys. Hopefully we'll have a better offensive game from everybody here than we had in games one and two. Let's have a fun game, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Let's just make it watchable. Dante, great stuff. Dante Morgan. Orlando Magic host and sideline reporter for the Bally Sports Florida. I do think that's what makes this game interesting. The Cavs might be the only team I've ever seen in a playoff series not get better, meaning not get more adept to the playoff environment, which is what happened last year. It felt like no matter the circumstances, no matter the run they had, no matter good moment, bad moment, they just never got their head above water last year, and that is what makes this series so interesting, because you clearly saw that with Orlando in games three and four. And so do I think the Cavs will be better in game five because of home cooking? Absolutely. Am I a little worried that the Magic have confidence right now and that they might be through that first-time playoff experience wall? Absolutely. That's my biggest concern tonight, is if the Magic actually come to play and keep shooting three-pointers at a clip of about 36 to 39 to 40%.
I mean, I want them to keep shooting, but I'd prefer they shoot at 21% like games one and two.
That's definitely better, in my opinion.
It's more better, yeah, for sure. But I don't know, man. I have no idea what this team is going to do, what they're going to be. And I don't know how I feel about that, Nick.
Yeah, I mean,
because I usually have a good gut feeling going into a game. And tonight's game, I have no feel.
So I agree with you that I don't have a feel. What I will say is it's gut up or shut up time. Because I can't say the other thing. Like, it's time. Like, it's time to find out. Like, we've been this whole 2-year thing since you traded for Donovan. Last year apparently wasn't the right time. They were not ready to let him know. But this is a much easier opponent. And all due respect to the Magic, this team is nowhere as good as the New York Knicks are. Mm-mm. And, like, this is the time for JB to pull a rabbit out of the hat. And this is a time for either Darius or Donovan to say, we're not losing this game. And if you don't, well, there's your answer. And so I think some of the reticence to say, well, I don't really have a good feel for this game, is because we're afraid of the answer. And I'm to the point where I don't give a damn what the answer is. I want the answer. I've been waiting. I've been waiting good and damn long to find out who the Cavs are. Will I be furious if it's not the answer I want? Of course, because I don't think it had to be the answer. I think to get to this point, if you get eliminated in this series, it will be a massive organizational failure. But tonight, I'm expecting the Cavs go out there, play like they play on home cooking, and get the win. Because I think what we've done is we're protecting ours. If you lower the expectations, say, I don't expect the Cavs to win tonight, I think you're protecting yourself.
Listen, I still expect them to win because they're at home. However, watching the last couple of games has given me doubt because I thought that they would go down to Orlando and continue to just basically curb stomp them into, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I thought they were going to sweep them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's going to be a lot of confidence tonight if the Cavs come out there and blow them out. If you run it, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think you might actually get a competitive game tonight. You might get 4 quarters of watchable basketball tonight. Might actually be some 3-pointers made at a decent clip. Might be something more than the collapsing defense. I mean, hell, maybe we get a couple just good old-fashioned fast breaks that actually look decent. Maybe Caris LeVert will go ahead and take somebody off the dribble that doesn't end in a disaster. Maybe. Wishes, hopes, and dreams. But I'm not giving up on tonight's game. I'm not. Go out there, show you're the better team, show you're at home. But while we're having this conversation, did you watch LeBron last night? Did you watch the Lakers get eliminated from the playoffs?
I did not.
Well, I think what's so interesting about it is everyone acted, you know, they talked about LeBron's post-game thoughts. They talked about, you know, LeBron making excuses for injuries. I don't know if anybody watched that game. LeBron was actually pretty good last night. I don't know if anybody's watched this series.
Nah, he was fine, and they nearly won the game. But
yeah, 30, yeah, one rebound shy of a triple
double.
No.
I have no problem with his performance.
Okay.
It's just the way he talked about how they were not healthy and how it's been tough this year, blah, 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 blah. And I guess I just would have thought maybe you'd hear a guy say, you know, the Nuggets are just better than us, and – yeah, we got our butt kicked. Like, what's wrong with that?
I think that was LeBron checked out after that game. I don't think he was checked out during the game. I vehemently disagree. I don't see how you go 30, 11, and 9 last night. And honestly, like, they had a chance. Like, it was a 2-point game. Like, LeBron had him there. AD, you're a bum. I'm sorry, 17 points in elimination game. I know he had 15 boards. But, like, you had 11 attempts last night. You had as many attempts from the field as Austin Reeves. You got Rui Hachimura had more field goal attempts than you. Anthony Davis, he's not a bum, but he is a $300 million pussycat. That's what he is. That is just soft on soft. But I think I don't even know that LeBron was asking those questions or answering those questions last night. I know when Nick has detached from his shell and he's somewhere else. That was what LeBron was. You cannot tell me LeBron did not fail the Lakers this year. The Lakers failed LeBron, which makes the conversation. We saw the Kerry tweet leading into last night, which was Kerry Champion, obviously ESPN personality, reporter, extraordinaire, media member. She had said that she got a text from somebody. This is not a report. It's just two people talking. She got a text that saying last night was going to be LeBron's last game in purple and gold. And immediately we all did the thing that we do, which is, so LeBron's coming home. I don't know that that's the case. I really struggle with the idea of LeBron wanting to come back to this team with the way it's constructed. Granted, he took over the Cavs in 2014, and it looked nothing different, or looked completely different 35 games later at the trade deadline. But I will say, like, I thought Keith was all over it. The morning show, the morning boys, we're talking about excitement and whether there's excitement about LeBron coming back. And Keith put out at afternoon 923 FAN saying, who would you be more excited about the Cavs signing this upcoming offseason, LeBron or Donovan Mitchell? 48.8% of people saying LeBron on just about 1,000 votes. 51% of people are lying to themselves.
Correct.
Like, at this point.
Like, I even, a while back, Nick, we had this conversation about LeBron. Actually, it was not with you. It was with JP, I think.
Never happened.
When you were on vacation. That, you know, I think I said that I would rather have Donovan and build around this core than have LeBron back. And boy, has that sort of changed.
Yeah.
And by the way, I saw that poll. Mm-hmm. And I clicked LeBron James.
I also clicked LeBron James.
LeBron
well.
James.
And
what happened to that meme?
I don't know that. Well, that was a decade ago, I think.
Was
I think,
it that long
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
I think that was so long ago. It was probably on Vine.
I guarantee you, it was on Vine. Oh my God!
I miss me some Vine, man.
I think LeBron's the only guy that could change the way we feel about the Cavs this offseason. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think people will be mad if Donovan re-signs, but I think it'll be like, okay, sure. Because I think we know how the NFL works. Paul George signed a 4-year contract extension in OKC, and a year later he was traded to LA. Now, granted, OKC is winning that trade. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as part of that trade. But, like, yeah.
Is that good? Is he good?
He's okay now.
Is
yeah.
he good at basketball?
Acceptable, I would say. Okay. Very acceptable basketball player, that SGA.
Think he's got a chance to play in this league?
Well, listen, if you listen to what a pro needs and what a pro wants.
What a pro wants.
God, that's trash. Just trash. So, obviously, LeBron gets eliminated last night. And LeBron, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt that LeBron is not happy in L.A. because the status of the Lakers. I just think, like, Donovan re-signing here would be a moment where you're like, well, okay, but what has he done here? LeBron has a title. And for I would really be curious to hear the crowd that said, I want to win a title without LeBron. I still want to see if they got some wind in their sails. Because I think today a good amount of those same people who I think, again, I get the intention, like winning a title without LeBron or competing for a title without LeBron would be ginormous. It would it's the kind of thing that could propel the way people think about you. Because then you're not just the Cleveland LeBrons, which I think some people outside of Cleveland say. So I understand the weight that comes with LeBron. But you get LeBron tomorrow, the expectation becomes you won't disappoint in the playoffs. And here's the thing, you won't get embarrassed in the playoffs. Say what you want. The defending NBA champions made work of the Lakers in 5 games. Look at LeBron's stat line and look at how LeBron's played.
I mean, here's what I would say about the Cavs and LeBron. And this is, by the way, folks, get used to it because this is going to be a conversation for the next couple of months. Certainly a bigger conversation depending on what happens in this series. But LeBron, if he were here with this young core, and yeah, Donovan wouldn't be here. I think this team needs someone like LeBron to kind of teach them how to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, there's no veterans on this team. Like, even Donovan, who I do think is a, you know, a good veteran, good teammate, good leader, all those things, but hasn't quite been there to the point where he understands what it takes to win at a high level in more than just a couple of games in the postseason.
I think the problem is, and I can't remember who said this, I think Darius looks at Donovan and sees who he can become because they play roughly the same, you know, the same style of basketball. One's a better natural creator than the other. There are differences, but they're undersized guards. And I think I don't think Darius would look at LeBron the same way. And I think that would be a good thing for Darius. And I think that, and again, I still think the problem is you're going to have problems with not getting the ball to Evan Mobley soon enough. You have to, you're going to have problems with Darius not feeling comfortable being the other guy or being the second in command. The difference is LeBron does a pretty darn good job of getting those guys looks, and I think Darius and Donovan don't tend to look at each other too much on the court. And I think there is an unspoken rivalry rift, whatever the hell you want to call it, between them at this point. I think it's impossible to ignore.
Neither one of them would ever admit it, but yeah. I think it's sort of like unspoken.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. Who would you be more excited about the Cavs signing this upcoming offseason? LeBron?
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
LeBron James or Donovan Mitchell, you guys can vote on that afternoon. 923FAN. And the difference between a win and a loss against Orlando.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Ooh, LeBron, I'm not going to answer that question, but I appreciate it. That's good theater right there. I will say the thing that I do not miss about LeBron having a contract year coming up is the waiting with bated breath on his decision. So enjoy that, I almost said enjoy that, Orlando. Enjoy that, L.A. That'd be a lot of fun. Because here's the thing. It's no sweat off our back. I actually think if LeBron comes back, he should do us a solid and go for the mid-level exception. I mean, think about it. If LeBron came here on a mid-level exception, the man's got more money than God. And I know this doesn't make business sense, but if he did, you could trade Donovan or Darius for every conceivable shooter that LeBron could ever want, and you would still have LeBron, one of the guards, Evan, and Jared Allen. That team with like three or four more shooters could be a championship team tomorrow.
Now, would Bronny get in ever? Or would he just ride the bench?
No, it would be the we could rename the G League, the Cleveland Bronnies, And he could just be – it'd be like the Savannah Bananas, but with Bronny.
Can I ask you a serious question?
You may.
Like, why couldn't Bronny be as good as, like, a Max Strus or someone like that off the bench?
Because he wasn't even Max Strus in college. He might be, by the way, in a year's time.
I do think that he was held back a little bit at Southern Cal.
I actually think – I don't think he was held back by the coach. I think he was held back by the health stuff.
Well, the heart condition was huge, and – yeah, and then I do think the coach sort of held him back, too, a little bit there. He'll be better than people think in the league, but I don't think he'll be a star.
Well, I just think – I think he's one of the kids that just needs college, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, it's this weird juxtaposition, or it's really more of a push and pull of his brand is so immense, being LeBron's son. He's developed his own brand, too. That his brand probably works better in the NBA, but his game is not ready for the NBA. And I just think there's I think the farther removed you are from being ready to play when you head into the NBA, the more risk you take on. If he can go to Duquesne, or well, that's where we're kind of assuming he's going because of Drew Joyce being there. But if he can go there for two or three or 1 or 2 years and really develop, and you can see that growth. He's probably going to be picked in the same spot, but he's going to give himself a better chance to develop. Mm. And I like, if the kid wants to be a basketball, if he wants to be an NBA player, that's all I want. Like, I want that for anybody, not just because he's LeBron's son and named after him, but, like, I don't want that dude just to go into the NBA draft because it's a, because he's going to get drafted higher this year, because he's going to have to deal with the, in college, you're already dealing with the weight of the name. You get to the NBA, and we found this out with Michael's kids. The expectations are not commensurate with reality, and that's what I don't want for Bronny. And I think if he came in this year, it's just there's no way he could live up to those expectations unless he just became a different level of player overnight.
That's fair.
Now, getting back to the LeBron thing, because again, I think it's a conversation. Like, I don't look at Miami and think, well, there's a spot that has – like, I think if I'm LeBron, if he even – I don't think he's entertaining leaving L.A., just so we're clear, because I think LeBron is comfortable with where his legacy is. That disappoints me as a LeBron fan, by the way. I want LeBron to go chase rings. I want LeBron to add – because right now we saw that guy that you saw drop a damn near triple-double on the road against the team in the NBA right now – To darn near stave off elimination. That dude, if he can do that against a team, like, they designed that team to deal with LeBron. They traded for Aaron Gordon to be the Spider-Man defensively and try and contain LeBron. They throw everything they have at LeBron. They have nothing. They try to slow him down. Good luck with that. That guy, if that's not the best player on a championship team, that is a hell of a 1B. And so I just want LeBron to go out, because it's not like like Chuck at the end of his career, or where he was kind of like he just didn't have the same leap that he had, you know, 5 years previously in Phoenix. He wasn't the same Chuck in Houston. It's not the same thing as Vince Carter Jr. being on a vet min hopping from – and I have no problem with that, by the way, or Sean Marion doing it, or RJ doing it. I have no problem. I'm not trying to dog those dudes. That's fine. LeBron isn't that dude. So it's not the same thing as guy at the end of his career chasing championship. No, it's a dude who's still an alpha chasing championships. But I think if you look at the Cavs now, I don't think it's just because a dude from Akron that it would make sense that he would value what the Cavs have. Because they've got a pretty deep roster. They do have some three-point shooters. They still have some upward mobility with Evan. They have a really nice rim-running big in Jared Allen, who's mm-hmm. Jared's ready for prime time. What they don't have is a dude. They don't have a tone setter, an alpha. And unfortunately, it seems like Darius and Donovan contrast each other. And so, like, I'll be honest, I wouldn't trade Darius for LeBron. I'm not trading a 25-year-old point guard for a 39-year-old wing, no matter who he is. I'm not trading 27-year-old, 28-year-old Donovan straight up for LeBron. But if there's a way you can work it, like, this is not – I think people expect, like, LeBron would get traded for the Kevin Durant deal. I don't think that makes sense for anybody. So I don't know how LeBron would come back, but I like – And I also think it's fascinating. Like, do you think it? All right, if LeBron is looking at a potential homecoming, do you think this place is more attractive to him if the Cavs win or lose this Magic series?
I don't know how to look at it.
I've debated this a lot. Do you know why I think it'd be better if you lost?
Because he would maybe feel like he's the missing piece.
Well, I also think he understands, like, the bar next year is don't get embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs. Like, if the Lakers had faced, I don't want to say almost anyone, because Minnesota's playing, like, I mean, just amazing right now. But if the Lakers had been one of the other top four seeds, the Lakers aren't getting in the bounce in the first round of the series. They got bounced because they're playing the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets are, they have an answer for AD. They have an answer for everything else they have. And it's basically just LeBron going out there and trying to win the damn thing himself.
Yeah.
And right now, the Nuggets are just a better team than LeBron is by himself as a difference maker. If they had played, I mean, darn near any team that is in Minnesota or, gosh, the team they just played, they're getting to the second round. So LeBron knows that, like, perceptionally, people aren't giving him that credit. But I also think he would know here, all right, they've got talent I can work with and I can win with. The East is lighter again. That weird push and pull of talent going from the East to West, it swung back to the West. The West looks loaded now. So the East would be easier to win. Boston's the team you got to go through, and Boston is not in any way a team you can't beat. You know, I mean, Miami's showing that you can push them at least a little bit as an eighth seed.
Mm-hmm.
So you add LeBron here and maybe subtract one of the guards and get in a couple shooters. Like, but again, I think going out in the first round, LeBron can say, oh, I can easily get that team to the second round or better next year at 40.
I'm sure that he would and could. I guess the biggest question is, would he want to come back to Cleveland right now? I mean, he's already done his job. When he came back the second time, winning a title, it's like if he comes back again, they're not guaranteed a title. I know they weren't guaranteed a title the first time, but he was well within his prime back in 2014?
I think the tough thing is, right, I mean, maybe Philly with Embiid and Maxey.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it
when
was.
He came.
I know, because I'm having flashbacks to here. Like, thinking back to that too, to thinking about getting ready for the playoffs, sitting right here with all of you guys getting ready for the game. So, like, but no, I mean, I think outside of Philly, there's very few teams out there that you can say you put on LeBron tomorrow and there's a fit and there's history and there's immediate for success. I think that goes in the favor of the Cavs.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.